The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
All right, welcome back, TNT. And on the line, I have Dr. Amory Brown with us. Good morning to you. He is our former Minister of Foreign and CARICOM Affairs. And I would think the best person to guide us through what is happening at this moment. The government has come out in full support of the United States attack on Iran yesterday, which, according to Israel and the U.S. President Donald Trump, left Iran's supreme leader dead. According to a Trinidad Guardian report in a statement issued after 8 p.m. last evening from the Ministry of Foreign and CARICOM Affairs, it said the Ministry of Foreign and CARICOM Affairs wishes to express its support for the continued actions of the United States of America aimed at preventing oppressive regimes from acquiring nuclear weapons capabilities that would jeopardize international peace and security. The proliferation of such weapons is a grave threat to the global community. That statement came 4 hours after one was first posted on Facebook around 4 p.m. by the ministry, then retracted. That post was left up for at least an hour. In a WhatsApp response to Guardian Media, Minister of Foreign Affairs Sean Sober said the release was retracted because the government was still assessing the situation, adding that another statement would be issued. So I think that being the most pressing topic or the latest news, we can start with that first, Dr. Brown. What is your take on it and what should we expect? Good morning. Dr. Brown, are you there? All right, let's try that again. I'll need to call him again and see if we can get that connection going again. This is the Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. But a lot of topics to take in. Stay tuned. Dr. Brown, do we have you online?
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning, and I do apologize for that little loss in connection, but welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM. I know that your morning has been packed with, you know, getting comments from you on the latest developments in the Middle East. So I think we can start there and then go into it. Now, the release by the Ministry of CARICOM, Foreign and CARICOM Affairs, has stated that Trinidad and Tobago's government has come out in full support of the United States attack on Iran yesterday, which, according to the Israel and U.S. President Donald Trump, left Iran's supreme leader dead. So let's first get your comments on that and the positioning of Trinidad and Tobago. Is it what we want for the international stage?
Well, good morning again to you and all your many listeners at home and abroad. So, you're right. We find ourselves in very challenging circumstances here in Trinidad and Tobago. Normally a very peace-loving nation, proud member of the United Nations, and fully adherent to international law, and a good example, a leader even within CARICOM and the hemisphere. What has happened now is that there's been a complete departure from all of those norms and standards. So many citizens were horrified, absolutely horrified, to see just a few hours after the initiation of this massive military onslaught in the Middle East, a media release, in fact, a series of media releases from the government of this country, from the Ministry of Foreign and CARICOM Affairs, literally voicing support and endorsement for this military action. I must tell you that this is unprecedented. This has never happened before in the history of Trinidad and Tobago, and I challenge anyone to identify, since we became an independent state, where this country has leapt out unsolicited, unrequired, unnecessary, and exposed ourselves in this manner. Right smack in the middle of Ramadan, and so many citizens, we had all these pious messages from the Prime Minister and her ministers about Lent and Ramadan and coming together and humanity and peace, etc. And now for this clapping and cheering for war, when at the same time we have so many problems here at home that require the government's attention, and we also have a number of our citizens currently in the Middle East in grave danger of life and limb when they are expecting their government to take a more prudent and responsible position to have this unseemly and frankly disgraceful cheerleading for a very controversial action. Even within the United States political system, there are ongoing questions as to the legality and certainly the wisdom of these attacks. And the debate is ongoing. It seems there's no debate here. The citizens of this country are of one view, most of them, and the government is of a very, very different position. So troubling times indeed.
And from the response from the Muslim community, activist and attorney Nafisa Mohammed has asked for the Prime Minister to come and meet with the leaders of the community so that they can get an idea as to what the feelings are from that community and what should be done to assist those same citizens that you discussed are in the Middle East and trying to figure out what is their best move forward. And even beyond that, our relations with Iran and the Middle Eastern countries, because we started to explore those spaces in terms of trade and agreement. In terms of diplomacy, in your opinion, what would be the best way forward and what should be on the agenda to be discussed in a meeting like that?
Okay, well, first of all, Ms. Mohammed and all other persons would be within their rights to request stakeholder consultation or interactions with the government of Trinidad and Tobago. But I have a slightly different view. This is not exclusively a religious matter. Matters of state, there's required to be a very principled view. Many of our nationals in that part of the world are there as students, individuals are there working, engaged in the petroleum and other sectors. Not all of them are of Muslim persuasion. So what is required is a very responsible national and government position on these matters and a government that is disposed to focus on the consular matters, the support to nationals of Trinidad and Tobago, assistance with extraction or repatriation where necessary, assistance for nationals to shelter in place where necessary, provision not just of an email address. If there's no internet, there would be challenges with that. But hotline, phone numbers, other points of contact, using our network of partners internationally, the British, the Europeans, the Canadians, the Americans, the Chinese, and all the other traditional partners of Trinidad and Tobago to identify points of support and contact closer to the Middle East, where our citizens can receive assistance and facilitation, as opposed to this focus on cheerleading for war. That's not the business of Trinidad and Tobago. So really, I would want to see coming out of all of those discussions, or anyone who thinks they have the power to impart wisdom to this UNC government to ensure that they try to alter the focus of the government to more practical, prudent, and fruitful pursuit, as opposed to this very subservient posture of simply cheerleading for military attacks. I mean, what you had there, the best interpretation at the beginning of this onslaught, was a meeting of government officials of a sovereign country, which was struck massively, the entire compound, by really basically a sneak attack. What is Trinidad and Tobago doing associating itself with that? It is not necessary. This country has lived and developed and strived through many other periods. There was Operation Desert Storm, Desert Shield, many other operations involving the Middle East, where we did not see it necessary or prudent or wise or intelligent to find ourselves cheerleading. We've always taken the humane, the lawful, prudent stance on these matters. We've always focused on our interests and the safety of our people. We've always focused on the decent things to do, as opposed to, I don't know, trying to please someone in another capital where our people are themselves in distress. The heart of our citizens, Muslim, Christian, Hindu, so many of our citizens are bleeding for what they're seeing on the news, while at the same time they're hearing loud applause coming from the halls of government. So, yes, I support the calls for meetings and interactions and someone to impart wisdom to the Prime Minister. But at the same time, I hope you're hearing me still.
Yes,
at the same
yes.
Time, mm-hmm. Yes, great. At the same time, we need to step back a little bit and recognize that this goes beyond religion. This touches the humanity, decency, and the United Nations Charter, all of which are at stake.
Now, the thing is, you've kind of touched on so many major topics within your statement for the last, let's say, 2 weeks. So I want to start from the perspective or the point of the CARICOM heads of meeting that just concluded last week. So the state of CARICOM, is it still a viable option, especially as now we are seeing what's happening in the Middle East? What are your thoughts on it? And the narrative has drifted through the thought that Trinidad and Tobago wants to leave CARICOM. Is that possible? And what be the pros and cons, if any, if such a move is made?
Okay, thank you. First of all, I don't just view that CARICOM is viable. It is my view and my party's view that CARICOM is essential. It is critical for our future as a small island developing state. Whatever temporary associations of convenience are being crafted by this government, you see the summit coming up and so on, all well and good, but there needs to be some wisdom here. As a small state, we are very vulnerable to changes that occur elsewhere. If we find ourselves saddled, and as a U.S. official described us recently, in lockstep, in complete lockstep with the foreign policy of a larger state, when circumstances change in the world, and when circumstances, political and otherwise, change in that larger country, where does that leave little Trinidad and Tobago? These are the questions that have occupied the minds of persons far older and wiser than me for generations and have led to the crafting of a very prudent and well-thought-out foreign policy focused on international law, focused on non-intervention, non-interference, respect for sovereignty, because those are the rules that result in our existence and our continued existence. Mm-hmm. A lot of that has been abandoned now, and the value of CARICOM is that CARICOM as a whole provides a greater strength. There is the power of our collective voice, the influence of our collective voice that has assisted us greatly through the COVID-19 pandemic, through our negotiations with Europe and the UK and all of our trading arrangements. CARICOM has been massively supportive. And so there's so much that unites us, brings us together, and there's so many reasons. So also our second largest trading partner for us to not just pay respect to CARICOM, but focus on building CARICOM solidarity. We certainly did that during the last administration. It was a very strong week. We went out of our way to host the 50th anniversary of the Caribbean community right here in Trinidad and Tobago as a sign of the value we place on our regional family. But over the last 10 months, the current government has gone out of their way to denigrate and attack and degrade Carapau. Every speech, every media release, every outburst of rhetoric has been anti-Caracol, an unreliable partner, questioning the ideals of the Caribbean community, attacking and misconstruing the zone of peace, getting into personal squabbles with Caracol leaders, attacking families during an election campaign of Caracol leaders, and really a very, very unseemly series of activities culminating in this recent heads of government meeting where the Prime Minister gave what many describe, and I see, as the worst ever address by a Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago at a regional forum. Complete disarray, complete shame and embarrassment to this country and the proud diplomacy of this country. And we are left with this imminent mini-summit in the United States of America. When you look at the list, there are just two CARICOM nations invited. A bit of back to the future, if you know your recent history.
Yeah, this
something like this occurred in the last Trump administration.
I'm trying to remember the name of the new summit, but mostly Latin American countries would be there. Guyana and Trinidad and Tobago has been invited. Now, this would lead me to another question I had for you. Seeing as the President Donald Trump has initiated these forums, the Board of Peace and this new summit that's supposed to happen, I believe it's next week, how does that... does that, for want of a better term, trump the United Nations, NATO, and our own Caribbean Court of Justice? How does Trinidad and Tobago recognize these new spaces?
Well, we are not associated or part of the Board of Peace, at least as of yet. I suspect one of the reasons would be, I understand there's $1 billion
entry fee.
To get into that particular club, this shield of the Americas, or however it's being termed, maybe there are different considerations and arrangements. But what we have learned, what many countries have learned, is that arrangements of convenience, of short-term convenience, really are not just unproductive in the medium and long term, but sometimes can be costly to our interests in the long term. So this is not to dissuade or discourage the Prime Minister or the government from having strong diplomatic ties and connections with the U.S. and with other partners. We've always done that. Mm-hmm. The last administration did that as well. I spent a lot of time in Washington, D.C., in the office of the Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, and all of that is important. But it should never be done at the sacrifice of our principles, or the sacrifice of the foreign policy of Trinidad and Tobago, the sacrifice of our sovereign voice, and to the isolation of Trinidad and Tobago from other important partners. As a small country in a very challenging part of the world, we've done very well over the decades in balancing those interests and maintaining a neutral, responsible national stance, fully in keeping with the UN Charter and international rules and standards. And we did that through the last Trump administration. We did that through changes in Washington, D.C., Democrat, Republican, etc., very successfully, and maintain relations with China, maintain good relations with Canada, Mexico, Brazil, and all our partners. And that's the responsible position. This thing about you have to choose sides and so on, it's a very reductive mentality. It's almost, I'd almost want to say trite and childish, and it's not in keeping with the diplomatic standards of this country. We have the capacity to do far better than the current government has been doing, and even if you look at some of our smaller neighbors, they are managing their circumstances with greater prudence. Mm. What they share with us is the same tariff arrangements with the United States of America. You have to ask the question, what has been the advantage? What has been the gain of this country through all of those meanderings with Caracas in the last 10 months? And this exchange of hostile rhetoric and insults and talking about nuclear attacks and all the rubbish that the UNC was engaged in. Today, as we speak here in March 2026, our Prime Minister of Trinidad and Tobago is still persona non grata in Caracas. Our energy interests are still not being pursued with wisdom. And you have the Prime Minister last week going to Saint Kitts to CARICOM and saying that Trinidad and Tobago is still threatened by Venezuela. The media has not called her out to explain those startling comments, but they should be taken very seriously because they represent a far and concern, an admission of failure on the part of the government and on the part of Kamala Prasad Bisesa.
Now, coming to the point of understanding what transpired in the heads of government meeting that was just concluded last week, are there key things we need to remember that will greatly impact the decisions moving forward as it pertains to our relations with the United States, that is treaties, trade agreements, security agreements, etc., that we need to keep in the forefront of our mind, understanding how these things work? I think we need to factor in these items when the public thinks that the government doesn't have leeway or powers to quote-unquote do what we want in relation to these agreements. Are there key things we need to remember?
Well, there's a lot that we need to remember. First of all, the support and vote and endorsement of Trinidad and Tobago should never be given away lightly. As a country, we are respected based on our sovereign voice. And traditionally, you have to earn the vote and support of this country, whether it's at the United Nations, the OAS, at any other forum. So you come with your evidence, you negotiate, you discuss, we have a back and forth, and we come to a position and understanding, very often in consultation with CARICOM as well. That's how the thing is done. That has carved out a space for us where we are suited and sought after and respected and consulted. All of that paradigm has been shattered by the UNC, and there's a clear sense, even among their supporters, that we're just throwing our support behind things blindly, instantly, instinctively, as a knee-jerk reaction, and then hoping for some kind of reward. The international community does not work like that, especially when you're dealing with transactional leaders elsewhere. They simply will not respect you. You will be treated as a puppet, and you will get nothing or very little in return. So these are some of the things that we need to bear in mind. Of course, there's been much that has been misconstrued about the status of forces agreement and all sorts mm-hmm. of other things. Mm-hmm. There's never been, as far as I'm aware, any government, any prime minister, any minister of national security that has signed away the sovereignty of this country and has permitted mobilization of any foreign troops from anywhere else mm-hmm. to this country without the explicit written authorization of the government of the day. So that's one of the things that has been misconstrued. And of course, the other is our relationship with Cuba. Mm. And it has been particularly painful to see the pole vaulting and flip-flopping of this prime minister in particular, who traveled to Havana previously, who was chairman of CARICOM previously in his first term, and one of the vanguard of support for the removal of the embargo against Cuba. When Fidel Castro died, she penned a most emotional tribute about he's a hero for the people of Cuba and an example for the developing world, etc. And now, in his second term, when she should be stronger, she has proven to be completely unprincipled in this matter, has reverted to some very archaic dinosaur talking points. I described it recently as going back to the 80s and talk about communism versus capitalism, all sorts of rubbish, completely ignoring the reality that democracy means that you get to choose your government and your system of administration for your own country. You don't get to choose it for someone else. You don't get to choose it for other sovereign states. So all of this lecturing and screaming at Cuba while the people there are under siege and are being systematically starved of food and fuel, while at the same time doing lovely business with many other countries that do not have multi-party elections. That has been a
track of talk as well, seeing as we can deal with China and other countries that have similar structures of government. However, there is an issue with Cuba. As you brought that up, let's turn our attention to that. Cuba needs assistance and Gaza needs assistance as well, humanitarian assistance, and is being requested by many countries in conflict at the moment. Yet it has been stated that many embargoes, sanctions would be implemented, or the threat of implementation by the U.S. For countries like Trinidad and Tobago and others to assist. Most recently, Jamaican Prime Minister Dr. Holness made a very impassioned plea as well regarding the situation in Cuba as it pertains to CARICOM, because there will be a trickle-down effect if assistance is not given. And already a U.S. senator has named the Prime Minister and talking to him about backlash. In CARICOM, how do we assist? How do we fight for the ability to assist member nations and the role of sovereignty? We can get to that as well. What are your comments on that?
Well, we've always had a very, very responsible position as a regional family when it comes to Cuba. Has there been some backdrop of concern that maybe there's a price to pay? Well, in some quarters, yes, but that is the strength of our collective solidarity, where we've been able to hold the line since the days of Dr. Eric Williams, since the days of Basdeo Pandey, who was a UNC prime minister, and I dare say since the days of Kamala Prasad Bisesa in her former term. And Trinidad and Tobago has been able to do that with CARICOM and maintain excellent relations with the United States of America, even with the former Trump administration. So it is unnecessary and foolhardy for us to throw all of that legacy away, to throw all of those principles away, and now to be at the forefront of attacks against Cuba, celebrating the siege, talking they can't have food and fuel until they have free and fair multi-party elections, when at the same time, the other countries, you made the point yourself, that we have no quarrel with. We have a very, very mutually beneficial relationship with China, with some of the Gulf states, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates. I'm not criticizing them at all, because we respect their position. We respect their system of governance. We don't get to choose it for them. We get to choose our own government and leaders care for us. That's what democracy is about. That's what the UN Charter is about. That's what respecting territorial integrity and the sovereignty of other states is about. So all of this, once you refer, my dear, to unilateral coercive measures against a sovereign state, you are speaking about a violation of international law. That's as simple as I can put it. And anytime Trinidad and Tobago finds itself unsolicited, cheering and celebrating for that, we will be on the wrong side of history. And on this Cuba issue, no matter how it unfolds, we are currently under the UNC on the wrong side of history. Jamaica is not regarded as an opponent in any way of the United States of America. They've traditionally been one of the very closest members of CARICOM to the U.S. But notwithstanding that closeness, the Prime Minister, Holness, has had the nobility and the decency to stand on that CARICOM platform and with a very clear voice identify matters of principle and humanity that causes us to continue our connection with the Cuban people and to find, to call for the avenues and means of support through their challenging circumstances.
Now, moving forward in terms of the relation of the United Nations, seeing as this would be the body to control or to be the neutral space to have these discussions, how do we regard the United Nations, and what would be our diplomatic position, from your opinion, moving forward to at least begin addressing the issues where Cuba is related, the United States and their movements, what they did in the Caribbean waters? How do we salvage our own voice within the United Nations?
Well, it's a big challenge right now. What I can tell you is historically, traditionally, and consistently, Trinidad and Tobago has had a very distinguished record at the United Nations. You'd be aware that we had one term as non-permanent members of the Security Council. We conducted ourselves with distinction back then. We recently, under my tenure as Minister of Foreign and CARICOM Affairs, for the first time, had a national of this country serve as President of the UN General Assembly for a full term. That was conducted with distinction. We distinguished ourselves. The name and brand of Trinidad and Tobago was elevated by the quality of the service of His Excellency Dennis Francis and the supportive environment that was availed to him, our flag was elevated as a result. What we're seeing now is the exact opposite. So when Trinidad and Tobago asserted itself and gave a comment recently in the margins of the Security Council, the question would be, who is listening to us and who would take us seriously when the prelude, the introduction to any statement or comment from this country is an assumption that we have chosen one side in advance. And that's what we saw with this outbreak in the Middle East. That damages the credibility of your country and erodes the ability of our diplomats and our representatives overseas to engage meaningfully, to negotiate meaningfully, and to gain the respect, which is essential, the respect and uphold the reputation of our country in diplomatic. This country is being reduced to a laughing stock by this current government with positions that are difficult or impossible to explain. And I speak to them all the time, or diplomats, current and retired, who, when they're engaging in conversations and people are asking, well, why did the Prime Minister say kill them all violently about these attacks in the Caribbean Sea when she had no information whatsoever to support those comments?
And it seems that the president didn't have any information either, because they weren't even sure what was on the boats, and the evidence did not show that, at least from our reports, that there was no clear indication that these vessels were used for trafficking in the area. So how do we use the information now? Because I'm going back to the latest developments around the world. That is Cuba, Iran, the bombing of Tel Aviv, Greenland, the assumption that they were going to take over Greenland. This has given the impression that President Trump has become very, quote-unquote, aggressive. That is the term being used. What would our diplomatic stance look like, in your opinion?
Well, I'm not going to be drawn in, Tusker, to criticism of Donald Trump or the U.S. administration. We are not responsible for them and their positions. We have no control over them and their positions. Whether Kamala Prasad Bisesa was cheerleading for a tax on Venezuela or not, that wouldn't change the paradigm of what the U.S. would or wouldn't do. So that's not my focus or my party's focus. It is on our government, our national position, and where we are left as a nation with respect to our reputation and the interests of our citizens. And that is in tatters right now. There's going to be a lot of work to be done down the line to restore the prestige of Trinidad and Tobago so that the countries in the region, the hemisphere, and of course the world will take us seriously and respect us in the future. It is my view that as we rebuild on our side and we continue to offer a different voice, a more sober perspective, and a prospective leader in the form of the Honorable Penelope Beckles Robinson, who from any angle and by every measure will do much better and represent the people of Trinidad and Tobago, all the people, much far better than the current Prime Minister, Kamala Prasad. So there's a lot of work to be done. We try not to focus on personalities and personal attacks, but on matters of principle. I can tell you as a parliamentarian myself, I have never insulted the Prime Minister of this country, ever. I've never used those descriptions and gotten into all these exchanges that others do. Even those on her side, she has some senators on her bench that have been so insulting towards you personally. We view that as a very poor example to the people of the country. We will disagree vigorously, but with respect.
With respect.
And when we engage with the Prime Minister, we do so on matters of principle. And therefore, we are strong in calling her out on areas in which we disagree. The entire foreign policy is a disaster. We engage along those lines. We reserve the personal attacks and the insults and getting into the personal conduct and so on. We leave that for those a little closer to things. And we believe that's the ethos that can help elevate Trinidad and Tobago, that can be a better example to members of the society, so that when we raise our voices on matters outside of this country, we would want to be taken seriously as well. So we are currently in the Lenten period. We are currently in the period of Ramadan. We would want to focus, especially in our interaction, on peace, on humanity, on what we share that makes us human beings, as opposed to talking about supporting war and surprise attacks on and killings of leaders of other countries, killings of schoolgirls, who gathered for education in another country, there but for the grace of God could be you and I and our children. Let's try to have a more noble focus for Trinidad and Tobago.
We're going to take a short break, Dr. Amy Brown, and when we come back, we will entertain some calls and questions coming in via 3061065. The topic, diplomatic stance of Trinidad and Tobago. Do you agree or disagree? Your calls and opinions up next.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
We have Dr. Amory Brown, former Foreign and CARICOM Affairs Minister, weighing in on the conversation, weighing in on the position of Trinidad and Tobago. And Dr. Amy Brown, I will tell you from now, a lot of our listeners are not in agreement with you. So let me give some of the opinions. Good morning, Tusker. Why is it we're interviewing persons out of office and not those who are actually in? Isn't it obvious that we would put their point of view rather than what is happening? I'm definitely sure that the entire interview will be anti-government and we only put forward the views of the opposition. What would have been the position of CARICOM if Venezuela had attacked us, meaning Trinidad and Tobago, a couple of months? What do you think they would have done? Tusker, how do you feel sitting listening to the person that was part of the problem that we're facing today, having that person criticize and vilify and verbal abuse towards a woman that isn't there to defend herself? A bit extreme, caller, listener. I haven't heard Dr. Amy Brown do that, but I will let the doctor respond for himself.
Well, I think we addressed that last one. and maybe the caller is a little distracted by the personal attacks that have been leveraged against the Prime Minister by members of her own Senate and even members of the United National Congress. What I can tell you is myself, my leader, and members of the People's National Movement conduct ourselves to a much higher standard than that. And those that are saying, well, you should only speak to members of the government on matters of foreign policy, that's a very fascist position to take. First of all, the parliament of this country is not just comprised of government officials. That would more resemble the type of country that the Prime Minister has been lecturing us about and lecturing the world about. So you have government and opposition. And to solicit the views of each side can assist the country in making up their minds on matters of importance to us and to the regional community. So that's, again, a very unfortunate position. Just to add the fact, you're not seeing it, but I would say the members of this current administration are extremely elusive and evasive and do not face the media very frequently. I challenge you tomorrow morning at the same time to get the Minister of Foreign and CARICOM Affairs or other government officials to come and respond to questions, to engage with members of the public. This current Prime Minister has not had a media conference for over 8 months now in office, which distinguishes her in a negative
and
way.
I do have to agree with you.
No,
I do. It is difficult to get responses.
To lecture you about your choice of guests when you have a sitting senator and the leader of opposition business in the Senate, the vice chairman of one of the leading political parties in this country, interacting, speaking, answering questions and discussing issues, and to say, well, you should only have the government. Well, which government? Where are they? Anyway, I don't want to be too hard on your viewers.
Not a problem.
That's their view, but yeah. Sometimes they may have the wrong view.
Let's take a call. Hello, good morning, and welcome.
Morning, Teska.
Good morning.
I'm morning to Dr. Brown. Dr. Brown, you know something? You have me laughing all the time. You have me laughing. But remember, our prize, we are democracy. And under the UNC, we shall continue to remain a democracy. That's our pride in the world. We have told the world we are a democratic nation. And what is funny, Mr. Brown, while you enjoy the beauties of democracy in Trinidad and Tobago, while you enjoy the beauties of our democracy, you don't want the people in Cuba to enjoy the democracy. Why? Can you answer that, please? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Port of Spain.
Yeah, well, what this caller has done is simply embraced and adopted the very simplistic and erroneous rhetoric of Prime Minister Kamala Prasad-Bisesi. So that narrative, let me put it as simply as possible, offers the world and the region that the only two choices you have as a country is A, you support quote-unquote democracy, and therefore, you join with those who are holding siege against the people of Cuba. You support democracy, so therefore, Cuba must not have food and must not have fuel to power the electrical system. That's one position. Or, if you are a human being, you have an element of decency, and like every other administration, every other leader, including Basil Pandey, and all that we have had, you stand with the Cuban people and you say they have a right to exist. They should not suffer from a unilateral embargo. That means you are supporting, you are anti-democratic. I cannot associate myself with such a ridiculous premise. And if that is what Kamala Prasad-Bisesi offers to that caller, and that's what that caller wishes to embrace, I cannot agree with that. In my view, I can be a Democrat as I am. I can celebrate the political system that we have in this country, while at the same time,
I do not wish death and destruction to anyone else, irrespective of their political system.
Let's take another call. Sorry about that. Please continue.
Please proceed.
All right, let's take another call. Hello, good morning.
Morning, Ms. Martinez and Mr.
Good morning.
Ms. Martinez, when I look at Guyana, so Guyana enjoys the same privileges as us in the U.S. But their stance is so entirely different. They don't throw themselves entirely towards the U.S. And you know what the ironic thing is, everyone? You know America will have less respect for Trinidad because of how they fall in them blindly than other places who stand up and have a neutral stance. That's the irony. America will have less respect for Trinidad than this stance they have taken just to follow blindly anything that I support. That's why you don't have a mind of your own, sadly. Thank you, time, Mr. Brown.
Thank you so much for your call. We have a voice. Go ahead.
I think it's an important point that your caller made. It gets into a bit of comparison, which I don't really enjoy too much. But the fact is that the Cooperative Republic of Guyana has carved out for itself a much wiser and more prudent position on the issue of Venezuela, on the issue of Cuba, and all the other matters that Kamala Prasad Bisesa really mangled when she went to St. Kitts. So Guyana is seen as a very close part of the United States of America. They will be there at this Shield of the Americas summit coming up soon. They have a lot of at stake. They have a lot of stake with Venezuela and the Essequibo region, etc. But notwithstanding all of that, President Irfan Ali has been very circumspect in every single one of his public output.
Response, correct, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very, very prudent, and is not seen as giving away Guyana automatically at all. And so that has positioned Guyana to maintain its leadership role in CARICOM. It's seen as a vanguard of CARICOM, while at the same time has allowed it to engage with China, with the Trump administration in the U.S., and with all other partners with a greater degree of success. And when circumstances change elsewhere, in Washington or elsewhere, it is assured that the interests of Guyana would be better served in the medium and long term by that more rational and prudent position, not as extreme as the United National Congress, Kamala Prasad Bisesa. And if you look at the comments on what happened in the Middle East, you will not see Guyana cheerleading and giving flagrant support for violent attacks on Iran. That you will not see.
I know that it's been a very compact morning, Dr. Yemi Brown, and I appreciate you keeping on for a couple more minutes. We have another voice note coming in, and I have my final question coming up. Good morning and welcome.
Morning, Tosca. I'm calling from Pity Valley. Regarding the comment about, you know, why we interviewed Yemi Brown, I can't agree with Mr. Yemi Brown or Dr. Yemi Brown and most of his comments there. Of course, those who are supporting our existing incumbent government will tend to disagree, of course. All right, but it would give a more balanced view of how things really are or seem on the outside. Maybe not locally, but definitely on the outside. Trinidad and Tobago stands on this matter. And we keep on putting ourselves or putting our foot in our mouth just to say, hey, you see, we and the U.S., we good. We's partners, right? And hopefully that will benefit us in the future, no matter what. I mean, there are benefits to being in alignment with U.S., but definitely not this. We could have kept a very neutral stance, but of course, our Prime Minister has decided otherwise.
Another comment coming in. Tusker is very comfortable because it's the PNM, Senators and Tusker. How come Dr. Brown so concerned now, wasn't concerned for the last 10 years, the economy was the worst and the bullying too? It's you all that are causing all the confusion. Dr. Brown, your response.
Well, I didn't hear the the voice note that you would have played, it was very faint. I did hear the comment that you just shared, which is a standard cookie-cutter UNC troll talking point. You were silent for the last 10 years. Utter nonsense, because I certainly wasn't silent, and other members of the People's National Movement were not silent. I can tell you that we were not silent on the issue of Cuba, and have been consistent from the moment of our founding on matters of principle like that. We were not silent. I was not silent on the issue of Gaza. And whether in or out of government, positions of principle, positions of international law, and the standards of this country will be maintained, notwithstanding what any troll says or what the conditions of this current prime minister. We will remain consistent in these matters. So we have the courage, when we went to the United Nations, to speak clearly and consistently on matters of principle, such as the genocide in Gaza. I challenge anyone to identify a single word that Kamala Prasad Bisesa has said on this matter. You know why she's saying nothing? It's a case of cowardice and a lack of principle.
Our final question to you. So moving forward in terms of trade and diplomatic relations with other first world giants, seeing as the United States is considered a giant and therefore we seem to acquiesce to their requests, China, Russia, India, the UK and the United Arab Emirates being one of our most recent conversations for mutual trade, all viable trade partners. What are the fundamentals for upkeeping our diplomatic relations with these countries in a very trying geopolitical atmosphere at this time, and also remembering our own commitments to CARICOM?
Well, the answer is in your question. The ability to leverage and maintain our interests and our relations with a diverse range of partners, some of whom may not relate well to each other, is the responsibility and well within the capabilities of Trinidad and Tobago. We've done so with great success over the years. Unfortunately, all of that is being squandered by the current government of the day. This current version of the United National Congress is doing a very poor job at that. I always feel hopeful for the future. There's a lot of work ahead of us, but we can rebuild the reputation and prestige and respect for Trinidad and Tobago, both here at home, within CARICOM, and internationally.
Thank you so much for taking the time, Dr. Brown, for coming in and really giving us another perspective on how the developments are taking place. We're watching in awe. I'm looking at some of the clips on our CNC3 counterpart with the news, and it is a trying and very uncertain time, and I do appreciate you taking the time to give us some clarification.
Great sadness. We are losing human beings, American, Iranian, those from other nationalities, on the cause of war, when we should be focused on peace, development for all our people.
Thank you so much, and we hope to see you again inside Freedom 106.5 FM. Enjoy the rest of your day.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.